Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you in here with us. We got a great show lined up for you. Part two of Inside the Sacred Circle. Now, part one, we covered in detail the betrayers of the sacred circle. Every circle contains a betrayer. Now, I'm talking about the circles of information, knowledge, worship. You see, the Bible says that Satan, the tare, has been here from the word get-go. And so every time you would do good, you must remember that if it's genuine and it's true, then Satan has a seat among the elders. Now, the Bible says, in Revelations, Christ said, I know where Satan's seat is. Do you? The question is that the Eternal One, the Almighty, Yahweh, He hid these things from the wise and prudent. And the Bible says that the Eternal hides and a king searches it out. So we hope and trust that you have the spiritual character and integrity, and the gifts and the callings, because remember, we're not looking for those that's called as much as we're looking for those that are chosen. So inside the sacred circle, there is a place for evil. Now, with that in mind, we're going back to show you how to cleanse the curse of evil. And I don't know whether you know this or not, but we have, as a Christian people, we have lost our ability to curse and to rule over our enemies. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, did not Christ teach that we should not curse, but bless? Well, we're going to go, that's why we're into this sacred circle message, and the next three messages are going to be very exciting and informative about what we need to do to take back our power. Have you ever been to church and just get bored out of your skull? Most of the services of Christianity, they're so boring and uninformative and traditional. If you've gone as much as I have to as many services as I have for the last 50 years, you know, you hear the same old without anything collectively being brought within the inner circle of your understanding that you might comprehend and learn and grow and get on to the meat. It's all milk. Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to show you how to develop the spiritual character, instinct, with the knowledge of how to not only overcome your enemy, to rule over your enemy, to take authority over your enemy, but to curse your enemy from your presence. And you say, well, I just didn't know I was supposed to do that. Well, we're going to go back and prove that the reason that we now have no power over our enemy, no power over those who have taken power over us and ruled over us and made us the tail rather than the head is the question of the day. We should, as people of Yahweh, we should have the power that when we call upon Him in spirit and truth, that he would answer from heaven with fire of the collective positive action of having what we ask for. Now, the Bible says you ask, but you ask amiss. Are we somehow, have we been led off the straight path? Now, the word altar, let's talk about the altar. Did you know that the altar was built in a circle? Do you know the reasons why that the altar was built in a circle? Well, if you don't, you're going to enjoy tonight's show because, and people say, well, you shouldn't call it a show. Well, Paul said others have tried to make a show in the flesh, even the more so. And to show forth the deeds of revelations, we've got to have a show of the scriptures. Show me the way. Show me the details. Let me determine the facts. Bring it in the absence of truth. Bring the collective information to produce the truth. And the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, that's what I want. Give me the truth. Don't give me anything but the truth. Give me the truth everlasting. And get it within the period of time that is delegated to my soul. You see, I only have a few days, as well as you, because the Bible said a man's days are numbered. And like a vapor, it appears. David said, I was once young, but now I'm old. It seems like that time, and if you're young, you may not get the clutch of what I'm trying to say here. But when you get my age, you know that time flies. When I look back over my days appointed, I know that David said, I was once young and now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Well, but that righteous man, to become righteous, must strive lawfully to enter the straight gate. Now, what's the straight gate? Well, let's go back to the sacred circle. We're going back and we're going to look at it. Have you ever really took the time to read the scriptures of where holy men that were moved by fear of the divine covenant of the grace of the Spirit, moved by fear to worship the Father in spirit and truth, have you ever wondered how they were so much closer? I'm talking about the prophets of old, the sons and daughters of Yah that called upon him in the old covenant. And people say, well, we're not under that no more. Well, we've lost the power under the new. Something is missing. Have we strayed so far from the covenant and the commandments? And there's not a new commandment. The commandment that we're under is the old commandments. We're not under any new commandment. The first commandment is, hear, O Israel, Yahweh is one, Mark 12:29. Worship Yahweh, spirit and truth, John 4:24. Love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, which is only a reasonable service, according to the book of Romans 12:1. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, if we do what I recommend that you do tonight, you're going to look very foolish when you go to a place that is secluded, because you don't want the world to pollute it. You know, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, you're ashamed to him. He's ashamed. That has nothing to do with what I'm fixing to tell you. You remember Christ when he departed, he passed up. I said last Sunday night, he passed up the opportunity to worship in a stained glass brick mortar building that took 42 years to build. He passed up the chance to do that, to go to the wilderness. Now, why would he do something like that? Because he wanted to collectively go to a place where it was aligned properly. He said, well, what do you mean by that? The altar must be, if you're going to build an altar, and you say, well, my God, Pastor Buddy, you've lost your mind. The altar is built in the church. The altar is the church. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when Noah built an altar in Genesis 8:20, and he did build an altar, that's the first thing he done when he opened the hatch or the door to the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark. When he opened that door on the first day of the 601st year, on the first month in the new moon, he built an altar there to call upon Yahweh. In Genesis 12 and 7, our patriotic father Abraham, when Yahweh appeared to him, the first thing he did, he didn't go to Disney. He didn't go to hear Schuller or Cooler or Wellfall or whatever. He went to build him an altar. And Yahweh appeared unto Abraham, and he said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar unto Yahweh. How did he build it? Well, you know what? He just took some dirt and rock, and he built up a mound, and he got him a goat and a heifer and a bull, and he laid it up on that thing, our glory to God, and he burned it, and it appeased the God in the sky, Yahweh. You know, he has to have them heifers and things of that nature back then. That's what they done. No, you do not know anything about why that they built an altar. And we have been led down the primrose path of deceit and style and profile, easy living, Easter bonnets and showcase parades on these certain pagan holidays that we gather on. And we're taken away from the truth and the hardcore facts of reality of how, when, where, and to whom we should direct our worship. Deuteronomy 7:5, and thus shall you deal with them, you shall destroy their altars. Oh, let me read that again. There's altars to be built and maintained, and then there's altars to be torn down and destroyed. But you shall deal thus with them, you shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. Well, ladies and gentlemen, why would our Creator demand that we destroy these paganistic worship centers of the bell boxes? That's exactly what he wanted them to do here. And the nations round about sought to avoid having their altars to their gods torn down by this people that was entering into their land. They even forbid Israel to cross their territories, as it is written in Numbers chapter 22, where Balak sends for Balaam, and according to the Bible, in the 6th verse, which is the number of man, Balaam said, come now, therefore, I pray you, curse this people, for they are too mighty for me. Preadventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and I will drive them out of the land, for I wot that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursed is cursed. My, what a reputation that Mr. Balaam had. Here's a king offering silver and gold, and isn't that the story behind evil? The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, Balaam loved the wages, and then the type of prophet he was, he knew the integral workings, just as Judas and Simon the Canaanite knew the inner sacred circle doings and dealings. And this is more, far more complex than I can ever have time on my limited time on my program tonight to get into the very detailed details of the inner workings of the sacred circle. I'll never get it done in the amount of time, or 4 hours. We'll never do this justice. I could spend 4 hours on one subject here in the 22nd chapter of the book of Numbers. but I'm only as a dweller. I do need to set a gestalt of your thinking to get you to understand that we've been led into the bell boxes of Baal when we should destroy their altars, or at least forsake them and come out of them and go back to the primitive, old-fashioned way of worshiping our Creator on altars built and designed by the instructions of Almighty, the Eternal One, Yahweh. Now, we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 27. And there I'm going to give you some instructions after we have a couple of more verses here in Numbers chapter 22. Now, let me go and show you that there is no enchantment, and this is what the old prophet said, because listen what he did. Now, he took the silver and the gold, he took the bribe, and don't most of our bell box preachers, they'll preach you anything you want to know. If you're a large contributor, they'll soothe your feelings when you're doing wrong or when you're not even in the plan of salvation. They will make a plan of salvation just to fit your pocketbook. And the more you give, the bigger the plan to incorporate more. And as they grow, they make people, and they compass land and sea, by the way, but they make them twofold more the child of hell than they were to begin with. I'm beginning to feel the anointing of the Mighty One, for truth shall reign upon the earth. I don't know what you know about what you should know, but I know this much. Our Heavenly Father will reign over the earth. Now, with the advent of the New World Order, the United Nations, the powerful elite, the great armies, that people look in numbers, they're terrified with great numbers, large armies, or opposition, or insurmountable odds. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the old saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. In this case, our Heavenly Father sits in the heavens, and He laughs at the calamity and the foolishness of those who think numbers will win the battle. Did you know that Yahweh can take one angel, send one of His hundreds of thousands, He can send one, and He, at His command, can set one foot on the land and the other on the sea and declare that He can stop time in its tracks, and that every wall that is built by the brick-mortar hand of mighty man, or at least thinks he's mighty, will fall to the ground at just the appearance of one angel? If so be that the command went forth. But see, these things are written in prophetic stages. The Father wants you, out of all of this Babylonian smut that is coming down the pike, to trouble you, to weary you, to stress you, to aggravate you, to concern you, or to derail you from your appointed destiny of serving our Heavenly Father in spirit and truth. Now, look here. 23, verse 14. And Balaam brought unto him the field of Zophim to the top of Pisgah. That word Pisgah is a place of a mountain. And there he built seven altars and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. Now, why would he build an altar to curse Israel? Did you know that within the compounds of some of these sacred assemblies, there are altars built where blood is shared in communion, and cups and chalices are raised with swords crossed and curses invoked against the people of God? I'm going to repeat that for you in a general detail. We are up against a formidable foe of men and women with superior knowledge gained by taking the evil road, because the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light. And they built seven altars to curse the sons of Jacob. But in verse 10, who can count the dust of Jacob? Now, when we say dust, one little particle represents a body, of flesh of the bloodline of Jacob Israel. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I expounded on this in part one of Inside the Sacred Circle, where we found two reptilians entwined in the circle. Now, we removed them, and we replaced them with holy men of Yah. You see, before you can function healthy, you've got to get the cancer out of the circle or out of the body of the living Christ, which body I hope and trust that you belong to. But have you been around the sacred circle just like hunting for the handle of the teacup and have never found it? Have you been the lost ball in the high weeds? Do you understand all this collective tradition of E-Star, bunny rabbits, chocolate sex, all these suggestive types and antitypes of paganism? Who built these altars and commanded the sons of Jacob to go and appear upon them? Well, your enemy. That's why Christ said in the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy to break them down before they multiplied and got strong. Well, who owns 97% of the wealth to influence? Because follow the money. That's where you'll find the evil. And every time you jerk up evil by the roots, you'll find those that love money hanging on in the darkness or in the safety of the inner circle of darkness. You'll find the powerful, the elite, the Illuminati, the illuminated ones, or what we call the New World Order, or the advancement or the encroachment of a one world government of the final Babylonian kingdom, who Daniel expounded upon in the 12th chapter of Daniel, verses 1, 2, and 3, a time of Jacob's trouble, as it is recorded in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 27, and Jeremiah 30, and verse 7. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in for a hell of a ride. When I say a hell of a ride, the path to heaven leads through hell. For those that will gain eternal life and those that will be chosen and found worthy, you must be tried as gold tried in the fire. Therefore, you must walk right through the middle of hell to obtain a heavenly calling, or to be proven righteous, or to keep his commandments, in other words. Now, surely that the number of the fourth part of Israel, let him die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like Jacob's last end. Hallelujah. I have read the last chapter, and those of Jacob Israel, two, four, and about the house of Israel, they went. Now, let's go and look at the assembly in heaven. In the city that is soon to come, we're talking about New Jerusalem, where the apostles are now seated. Now, that's the 12 original apostles. I'm not talking about the two in the 10th chapter of Matthew that were collectively in error, or demons, or tares among the wheat. There were 10 good ones and 2 bad ones here in the book of Matthew chapter 10, but go to the book of the 7th chapter of the book of Revelations. You'll find there 12 gates, and upon the gates, the name of the 12 apostles, and these 12 apostles, believe it or not, are sitting on thrones. Now, what does that mean? That means that the 12 tribes of the genetics of Jacob Israel, two, four, and about, and only, have a right to enter into the city. And if you're not bloodline kindred to the house of Jacob and his blood, you will have no right to enter into the tree of life, because no tares, no Canaanites, no miscegenated seed, and no Gentiles shall enter in. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, in the Bible, it says that Gentiles, that's Strong's number 1484, it means a ethnos, a particular group, a one-blooded people, and that word Gentile has been interchanged with the nations of Israel. Now, the nations of Israel are 13 tribes. Let me repeat this. The nations have been scattered into and among the Gentiles. So the two names become synonymous and interchangeable with the Christian translations, which is an error. And if you don't do your homework and work on this day and night and fast and pray and get a revelation of the inward sacred circle, you'll never, never, you're always trying, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Therefore, the way is hidden from you, and you've lost the key, and you have no vision, and the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish, and if the blind lead the blind, which is what we've got in the bell boxes today, we'll all perish. Remember, the sacred circle in heaven has 12 gates on it. These 12 gates are the names of the 12 sons of Jacob. Each one has a genetic share of the same blood. Now, let me repeat this. Each share has the genetic blood of Jacob. Now, if that blood has been altered in any way, form, or fashion, then we have went against the code of sacred code that the Father gave us to have a right to enter into the tree of life. Therefore, the Bible said, keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world. Come out of her, my people. You may have been there, but now they're encouraging miscegenation, marriage, crossbreeding, races are the heathen, the Gentiles, and all of the races above, and the Canaanite Jews are the orchestrator and the perpetrators of this doctrine to mingle and mix. As a serpent will lay intertwined among other serpents, full of deadly poison, they have entered the flock, not sparing the flock. Paul said, I know that grievous wolves, these are the wolves that is dressed in sheep's clothing, they change themselves into prophets and preachers and teachers of righteousness, and therefore it is the same right way, and the Bible said, come out of her, my people. Now, let's go, and I'm going to show you something tonight. You need to really catch the thrust of what I'm about to tell you. I'm going to reveal to you things tonight that perhaps you've never known, that you do have the authority to curse your enemy and to bless your genetic fathers. Now, let me repeat it. You have the authorized Word of God and His command to rightly divide the truth, to curse your enemy, and to take back the power that he's stolen from you by sowing tares among the wheat. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I don't understand all this. Well, you will. You stay tuned for the next three messages that we've got to offer you as we're coming up on our first 30 minutes, and you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Comb. This is where ground truth zero meets the road. We don't take any prisoners here. We can't. We don't have time. Let they that are righteous be righteous, and they that are wicked be wicked, because the leopard can't change his spot, and a tree will only produce the fruit of what he's born with. If you're a tare, if you're a serpent, you see, the Bible said, in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, it says that Esau was a rejected tare. And the Bible says that this rejected tare sought deliverance through bitter tears and found it not. Now, why would Esau... says that Almighty God, the Eternal One, Yahweh Shua in a flesh body, and he hasn't changed, he's the same, yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says that he hated Esau before he was ever born. Why? Because there was two nations of people in the womb of Rebekah. He said, well, God don't have any respect to a person. He don't, but he has respect too. He don't have respect to all persons. You got to prove yourself. And that's why you'll know a tree by its fruit. But he has respect to a person. If you don't bring forth good fruit, then you're not going to be accepted of him. If you bring forth wicked fruit, you're going to be rejected. And did you know that the Bible said they that are of the tares are nigh to be rejected and made to be taken and destroyed in the fire? And you thought everybody had a chance to go to heaven? But all we got to do is compass land and sea and to convert them and let them sign the saved card, or to sign that they have accepted Christ as their Savior and they're on their way to heaven. That's poppycock. The Scriptures does not indicate or authorize anybody to compass land and sea and do that. The Bible says, go only. This is Matthew chapter 10, where we took our text tonight, and we're in the sacred circle, and we're preaching the revelation of truth to unfold the fivefold ministries. And ladies and gentlemen, the total number of today's count, this is actually the 23rd day of the fifth month of 2004. If you total that up, it's 14, and reduce that to 1. 4 and 1 is 5, and 5 is grace. G-R-A-C-E. Rub out the G, and you've got the picture. It is to, for, and about the lost sheep of the house of Israel, anethnos, Strong's number 1484, where it says Gentile, mistranslated in the Scriptures of the New Testament, should read ethnos, a particular race of people scattered abroad among the Gentiles. And for them he sent his apostles and prophets, and today is no exception. Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd Call and those that support the cause is the voice that is of the shepherd reaching out for the sheep that are lost, that need a shepherd and need to come back to the fold of the sacred circle and take back your power that was raped and looted and stolen from you. And you were given tradition and foolishness from which God said to turn away from and to repent and return back to the old path, and to walk in, and you'd find rest for your soul. Now, Joshua chapter 8:30. Then Joshua built an altar unto Yahweh of Israel in Mount Ebal. We're going to Mount Ebal, one of the largest mountains, geographically speaking. Now, this mountain, Mount Gerizim, and Mount Ebal were neighboring chains of mountains where Israel went to the highest peak in the 8th chapter of the book of Joshua, starting in Joshua chapter 4, where they collected 12 stones and set them in a circle at Gilgal, which the word Gilgal means in itself heavenly circle, a place where they congregated. And the Bible said those stones are there unto this day. And did you know that the Bible says that the word Gilgal is Strong's number 1537, like I said, means heavenly circle, and there they built a sign for you. Now, this is in the 6th verse of Joshua chapter 4. Man, I've got to ride a fast horse tonight to get in, even begin to lay the foundation here for the altar. And this may be a sign among you that when your children, that means your posterity, in times or generations to come, they shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? And then he told them what that they should answer. And the Bible says, here in the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to read now and settle the issue of your ability and your right, your God-given right to curse your enemies. Now remember this. You have been indoctrinated in the New Testament of Matthew chapter 23 not to curse your enemies. But we're going to go there in the last part of our series on part 4. We will conclude in the New Testament, and I'll show you that Christ was not talking about forbidding you to curse your enemies. Ladies and gentlemen, he had enemies himself, but it wasn't time to destroy him. Did you know that whatever you bind in heaven, or whatever you curse, that word bind means to tie, capture, or control, or rule over. That's a curse. Your enemy, in the darkness of these bell boxes and in these sacred circles of the Illuminati, they have banded together to curse and to poison your mind with tradition and things of the world and carnality and things that seem right. And the Bible said there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. I feel the anointing of the great King of Kings, the Jacob of Israel, who hid his stone at this mount upon the eastern side. Facing west, he built an altar at Bethel. We'll read about our stone shepherd, Jacob, in part 3 of the Sacred Circle, where he built an altar to Yahweh and blessed it and dedicated, and Yahweh sanctified it and claimed it as the birthright territory, where a lot of people think that David was a Jew. They haven't read the Bible. They're Sunday school teachers. Where people think that Christ was Jewish. These people haven't read the Bible. They're Sunday school teachers. They're reading out of imagination, or they're following tradition, or something that seems right, or something that they've heard, and they're trying to collectively put it together and formulate a formula that would prove that Christ come out of the tribe of Judah. David didn't come from the tribe of Judah, and neither did Christ, and we know that the Scriptures will not verify any teaching contrary to what the Scriptures teach, and that Christ was not a Jew. He was an Ephraimite out of the sonship tribe of the birthright covenant of the sacred circle of Joseph. Rejected, of course. Of course, Judah ruled in absence of Joseph. That's the whole point. They were jealous and envious because Joseph revealed to them in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis that his star would raise and all of the sons of Jacob, Judah included, by the way, would bow to Joseph. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when did that happen? It happened right under your nose 2,000 years ago, and you didn't have enough knowledge. You've been blinded through tradition by following the scribes and the Pharisees and the bell boxes of the curses of Balaam. And if you want the veil of curse lifted off your eyes that you may see, oh yes, this curse, when it's lifted, you're going to see things and hear things and know things that you never heard before. You're going to become hated among your own people. Those you don't curse. Those are those of your own household that will become your enemies and your foes. You know why? Because they're blind. Did you know that blindness in part has happened to Ezra, according to the 11th chapter of the book of Romans? The 25th and 26th verses show you that there shall come redeemers, there shall come a mighty one out of the house of Jacob, and he will turn Jacob, he will wake up Jacob, the sleeping giant, from his sleep. Rip Van Winkle will sleep no more. Black Beauty, we're going to get into something here that's going to really reveal and open your eyes. If you can see, if you got any eyesight, you need it now. You need the curse revoked off your eyes. Blessed are your eyes, it says, if you do these things. Cursed are you if you do not do these things. Right after the chapter that we're going to read in Deuteronomy 27, and Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you. And it shall be that the day when you shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord thy God, Yahweh, the mighty one, the eternal, gave thee, that thou shalt set up these great stones and plaster them with plaster, and you shall write upon them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this was fulfilled in the 4th chapter of the book of Joshua, where they wrote the names of the 12 tribes of Israel and the laws according to the command. You say, well, we ain't under them anymore. Well, fine, let's go out and rob, kill, steal, and we can get into a church that will condone homosexual marriages, and now we're not under the commandments. If you're under the commandments, you don't condone anything about that. You condemn it, you speak out against it, and you love Yahweh, and you keep his commandments. If you say that you do love him and don't keep them, the ones that's written under the law, you're a liar and the truth ain't in you. Plain talk's easy understood, and a straight line between two points is the closest distance. And if you don't like the truth, go to hell. That's where you're going, with all nations that forget the mighty one and fail to keep his laws and his commandments and to walk upright and give him 100%, because 99.5% ain't going to do. You almost persuade me, they said to Paul. You almost persuade me. Did you know that most people are moved when they hear Pastor Buddy preach? They squirm in their seats. I get into a congregation of people who's never heard my messages, and they squirm, and they sweat, and they open their Bible, and they search, and they pound, and some get mad, and they pull their hair. And they do just like they did in the days of the apostles. They threaten to kill me with knives and guns and things of this nature. You know why? They're Christians without any vision. Having a form of godliness, denying the power of, in a seem-right way, deceived. When you bring the truth, it uncovers their sin and their obvious error. And in so much carnal pride, they've never fasted a day in their life. They wouldn't know what it was to read three scriptures in a row and to quote them verbatim. Most of them have to search. Well, I know it's in there somewhere. My preacher told me so. Listen, we're not listening for people that's on milk. We're on meat here. And meat is to those that discern between the good and evil. And the Bible says here in the 27th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, verse 11. Now, of all things, verse 11, 7 and 2 is 9. And 2 ones is 11. 11 is the master number to the key to the sacred circle. Your enemy knows that. And you see, we've been taken off our sacred circles. We've been told by the bellbox preachers that we shouldn't curse anybody. And yet your enemy's cursing you day and night and drinking your blood out of the chalice. And you're worshiping the names of the good guys and people like me that tell you the truth, you hate me and say that I'm in witchcraft. Man, the day will come that they'll call evil good and good evil. That day is here, and the people love to have it so. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, Pastor Buddy's charging the same people, the generations of the posterity of those people, the stiff-necked, the uncircumcised, the bull-headed, the hard-headed, the stubborn, the dumb, led away with the error of the wicked, as it was with Balaam, and as that was with these nations that surrounded Israel, who they went a-whoring with after and for the blessings of Baal, and forsook and received the curses of Yahweh. Moses charged the people. These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim. I told you Mount Gerizim is where that the sons of Israel with Yahshua, the little general, led them in, and Yahshua was an Ephraimite. Isn't it appropriate that Joseph, he was the son of Joseph, the gifted, leveled son from the posterity, strength of Jacob, the leveled son, Joseph. Here is Yahshua, the leveled son, a type of Christ, leading the children into the promised land. And commanded them what to do. Now let's find out what he commanded them to do. You're gonna be blown away. These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are come over Jordan. Now here's the sons that are authorized to bless. Did you know that only 6 sons of Jacob or 6 tribes or 6 of the posterity are commanded to bless? That there are 6 tribes of Israel that have no command to bless anything. But they can share in the blessings of the 6, for these 6 are to bless. Let's find out who they are. Simon, Simeon, Levite, this sacred circle of the Levitical covenant. We're going to change that to a Melchizedek covenant here in the issues of time to come, and the message you need to stay tuned of how it went from the Levitical covenant to the sacred circle of the inner working from the center, that Levi moved to the north, Dan moved outside the sacred circle, and then we have a perfect order in the 6th and 7th chapter of the book of Revelations of who's there and who's not. Here's the ones that were to bless: Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. These are the authorized sons to bless. Now, I've got to hurry. My time is running away. I just wish that I had about 4 hours of the festival and revival for you to travel to, and soon, very soon, perhaps, maybe, we'll have a place where we can teach the sons and daughters of Israel how to return back to the Obab, how to find the strength and the wisdom and the power and the knowledge and the blessings and the cursings to defeat or to destroy or to remove or to hold back the enemy that's coming in like a flood. The Bible said you've got to lift up a standard. Here's the standard, ladies and gentlemen. You need six of the sons on the altar, the sacred circle. You need them on the altar. And you shall bring these people on Mount Gerizim. Remember, it's a great altar. It's a great circle at Gilgal. And those stones are still there when they went up on the Mount and the Golan Heights. This is the ancient geographical place of the mountain of Gerizim and Ebal, facing north. My, my, my. The people, when you are come over, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin, shall stand up on an altar and bless. Verse 13. Isn't it ironic that here is the curse number? You reckon that tradition has something to do with the curse number of 13? Remember that Christ in his inner sacred circle of 12, and two of them were a devil, reducing the number to 10, and the 10 lost tribes are scattered abroad, and they were trying to rejoin the house of Judah and the house of Israel. And you thought that Jews is God's chosen people when it's the house of Israel that claimed the birthright privileges. But you see, the Israelites have been dumbed, veiled, and asleep through the venom of the serpent who come in. And the Bible said in Revelations 2 and 9, I know them that say they're Jews and are not, but are liars. Revelations 3 and 9, I know them that say they are Jews and are not, but are liars, and I know where their seat is. And ladies and gentlemen, they're sitting right in the seat of righteousness. They've transformed themselves into angels. They're God's chosen people, Pastor Buddy. Don't you know the difference? God's going to use them, our Jews, glory to God, to build a temple over there in Jerusalem. And God's going to come back and send Jesus, the Son. He's going to sit in that temple, glory to God. And he's going to reign for 1,000 years, glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever, in your time, lifetime, seen such stupidity? These are all messages coming from the rapture captured group that are gathering the dumb, the ignorant, the profane, the homosexuals, the pervert. They will justify anything with their teaching, and they'll curse the righteousness of the saints who speak out against it from the streets where they're not welcome. You see, I'm not welcome in an average Christian church. You know why? Because I stay strictly in the Word of God. I offer $5,000 when I go to a place and open the King James Bible among them for one man that can prove me out of the King James Bible. I can stand for hours and quote from Scripture because I've read, studied, prayed, and fasted, and I know the plan. You shall know the truth, the Bible said. If you don't know the truth, if you're wondering, if you're confused, that means you've not rooted and grounded yourself in the knowledge and reality. But you've got to suffer to get the truth. Therefore, few people find the way to enter in at a straight gate. But many find the convenience of convenience, a God of convenience. I can put him on when I want to and take him out when I want to. Now, Pastor Buddy, I don't believe in this 100% religion like you believe. Glory to God. I don't believe in dedicated like you are. Give up everything to get that. I've got to do these things first, and then I'll get it. That's a fool. Christ said, the Gentiles seek after those things, but you seek the kingdom of heaven and avoid seeking the things that they seek for, and you'll get the things that they seek for and more, and they'll get nothing for the rest. Verse 13, I want you to read it with me, and you are listening. You're my sheep. You're my students of the Word, and I hope and trust that the Father will give you a revelation. I only have like 55 minutes to get this over to you, and I have to quote so fast and go so many places, and I hope that you can keep up. I trust that some of you are advanced enough. If you have questions, I would prefer that you call me. Listen, I'll talk for days on it. That's my life. I'm a full-time minister, and I live only by the offerings and the love offerings and the tithes of those that support my ministry. I don't beg for money. I never ask for money. But if you feel like that this message is for your spiritual health, you want to know more, then you ought to be willing to pay everything you've got to get the message. Not that it's going to cost you anything. It'll cost you nothing but your life. And if you'll give your life, you'll give your pocketbook to support the truth. You won't be one of those laying it up for a rainy day and putting in an IRA. That is all going to melt and go down the tube in one day. Babylon, the money system, where you're banking. People are so gullible. They'll work a lifetime and put their money in paper and put it in a bank somewhere and let them get a number for your bank account, and you'll think it's going to be there forever. Oh, what a surprise coming down the road very soon. And thee shall stand up on Mount Ebal to curse. Let me read that again. 13th verse, 27 Deuteronomy. And thee shall stand up on Mount Ebal to curse. Well, I didn't think that the Father approved of cursing anybody. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't curse your enemies, they'll eat your lunch. If you don't resist the devil, he'll come in on you like a flood. He will take everything you've got. He'll rob you. He'll kill you. He'll steal you, and he'll destroy you if you don't have a mechanism built to invoke the powers. And the Bible said, remember, you can't strive unless you strive lawfully. These shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. These are the six sons of Jacob and their offspring. If you're from one of those tribes, you're gifted to stand in the sacred circle where you convene and where you gather. And you can curse your enemies. You say, well, really and truly, I've got Jesus, glory to God, and I ain't got no enemies. Honey, if you've got the real thing, you've got more enemies than you've got fingers and toes, and you don't know that the enemies that's ringed about you, that stripped you of your power, most Christians know zip about the Bible. Oh, they think they do. They've heard the Samson Delilah story about 643,000 times in their lifetime. They hear, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me about 200 million times. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more to the text. The Bible said that the things that are kept secret from the foundation of the world, a time to reveal, a time to conceal, a time to kill, and a time to curse. They shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Now let's put them all in a circle and see what you've got. You've got six to bless, six to curse on the sacred altar at appropriate times when you gather together. When Christ went to the wilderness, what did he go for? Oh, he went out there to file his fingernails and sit in a dealy parlor and to wear those three-piece suits and wear those shiny shoes. If Christ was back here now, walking the earth, he'd pass up the cathedral of tomorrow. And the cathedral of yesterday, and the cathedral forever, to get a chance to build him an altar and teach you the mechanics of sacred worship inside the sacred circle of stones where the Bible will teach you the aspects of divine covenant worship. Now, I've got to get out of here. My time is almost gone. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Shepherd's Call. My name is Pastor Buddy. This is the first time you're listening to the show. We hope and trust that you will understand where we're coming from. You need to write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. My telephone number, I'm live. This is the 23rd day of the month of May. I'm live and direct in the studio tonight, so you can call me. Now, if you can't get through, keep trying. Don't give up. You call at midnight, I'll take your call. Bring it up. Listen to my telephone number. Area code 423-626-2172. Don't miss part three of Inside the Sacred Circle. We're going to continue in the revelation of the power of the altar. Oh, the altar is one of the most neglected, misunderstood functioning of the Church of Yahweh. Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. If you'd like to pledge support, that's a toll-free number between the business hours Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, Eastern Standard Time. Call 1-877-289-7439 or Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. Well, it's been good. And it's been wholesome to be with you. This is Pastor Buddy, and until I see you again next Sunday night.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this